Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back. It's Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. So earlier this week, President Donald Trump took a question about the timing of his pardon of former Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Here's what the president said.
In the middle of a hurricane, even though it was a Friday evening, I assumed the ratings would be far higher than they would be normally. You know, the hurricane was just starting. And I put it out that I had pardoned, as we say, Sheriff Joe.
Well, hurricane or not, President Trump's pardon did indeed receive an enormous amount of attention. It is deeply controversial, and we want to dissect the legal questions surrounding it. So joining us now is WBUR's legal analyst and retired federal judge, Nancy Gertner. Judge Gertner, it's good to see you.
Nice to be here.
Okay, first and foremost, the president can pardon virtually anybody he wants. So this is legal, right?
Yes, but...
Yes?
That's right. No, I mean, I think it is... It has never been challenged before, but I think this one will be challenged.
Why?
Well, first, for a couple of reasons. One, this is there was a precedent in 1925, an old case of a guy who was actually running a speakeasy. And rather than prosecuting him criminally, he was told to stop the speakeasy and then given contempt of court for not following it. Supreme Court had to deal with this case. It was clearly an underlying crime. In other words, there was nothing remarkable about it. This is remarkable in a number of ways. It's remarkable. Let me say before I start this that no one has ever successfully challenged a pardon before.
Yeah.
But the judge in the Arpaio case has asked for briefs on the essentially what to do about the presidential pardon. So this could open up an interesting door.
I was just going to say, can the judge do that? But I guess she can because she's asked for them.
That's right. Well, but, the issue is this is different because this is a violation of a court order. This is not an underlying crime here. Clemency is usually used for someone who was, you know, the punishment was excessive. They spent too much time in prison. This is now an effort of a court to enforce court orders.
This is so Arpaio was in violation of a court order.
That's right.
Order.
And yeah, the right. Court. And it, by the way, the press does not. It's not just the court order not to profile Latinos. He knows, but he lied to the court. He withheld discovery. He basically did numbers of things which were the subject of the contempt.
Destroyed hard drives at one point.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I mean, there were videotapes that he didn't turn over, and that was essential to the question of profiling of Latino citizens. So the issue that didn't really get taken care of very carefully in the 1925 case is, when you're talking about pardoning someone for violating a court order, are you interfering with the independence of the judiciary?
Okay.
And so is it a horse of a different color?
So I want to back up here just a little bit, because you were saying that there's so many reasons why this pardon is extraordinary.
Right.
One of them is Arpaio hasn't even been... Well, he is not now, but he hadn't even been sentenced
right.
yet.
Right. That is unusual, whether that's not the subject of a challenge.
Right.
You know, but that's certainly unusual. The pardons that President Obama gave were people who had minimally 10 years, who had been in a substantial amount of time. It's not an equivalent situation. Clemency is usually something that one deals with empathy and, an excessive punishment. That's not this case. But you got to separate out the policy questions, which make this a bad idea, from potential legal challenges, which up until now have not been successful. But I think that they're coming.
Okay. But so I just want to understand a little bit more than what would be the basis of those legal challenges, because the Constitution says that the president has the power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States.
Right. The question is, what's an offense? Again, this is no one has succeeded on this ground before, but this is what has been argued. An offense against the United States is usually a crime, right? I mean, armed robbery, bank robbery, et cetera. This is an offense against a court. Not an offense against the United States. The underlying court order concerned a civil case. And so arguably what his pardon does is hurt the plaintiffs in that case, who were the Latinos who had been racially profiled, and hurts the court's ability to run its own shop, to run its own environment. And that makes it different. Now, this has not been the basis for a challenge yet, but in the decision, this really old decision, they say that if you can show that the pardons were an abuse of power, then another avenue here is impeachment. And so I've written that if the president decides, for example, mid-investigation to pardon Manafort, Flynn, Kushner, not because of public policy issues, but simply to protect himself and people getting access to his records and prosecuting him, I would take the language in that 1925 case and say that may be an impeachable offense. But that's a separate issue. That's not a court challenge. Yeah. That's an impeachable offense.
So we just made a big leap here.
I
just want to back up here. So you're referencing that 1925 Supreme Court ruling.
Right, right.
That you say the court then said, if one can show.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. The Supreme Court saying the appropriate remedy here for an abuse of the pardon power is impeachment. That's different than people who I think will soon be challenging constitutional arguments about this pardon when the underlying case is not a crime,
right,
but a court order.
Okay, so sticking with the Supreme Court here for a second, I mean, one would have to prove intent, right, if you're trying to say there was an abuse of presidential power, right? I mean, you've written about this. Are you saying that you think, as others do, that the Arpaio pardon may be a dress rehearsal for other pardons
right.
in the future?
That's a different argument. So the Arpaio pardon, you look at it on its own, and
yeah.
what did it do? And was this appropriate? And appropriate because it was a court order, and appropriate to the man, by the way, whose record is abominable. Then there's a question of other pardons where the basis of it would arguably not be an issue of principle, is Manafort being punished too much? But I want to give Manafort a benefit so he doesn't testify against me. That would take some proof, to be sure. But what the court is saying is that there could be exceptional circumstances where that's an impeachable offense. It's an abuse of power, the use of the pardon power, basically to help the president.
Hmm.
Right. Now, that has never been challenged before
yeah.
because nobody's ever done it before.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem with this area. No one has ever attempted to do to the Constitution what this president is attempting to do.
So tell me more about that, because I find that sometimes in our conversations, because of the extraordinary nature of this president and this presidency, that I find it difficult to keep the constitutional questions, then the legal questions and the political questions in their respective buckets here.
Right,
I mean,
right.
But it seems like there's a great deal of overlap.
Right.
You cannot fully separate the political intent from the constitutional impact, can you?
No, but I think that's an important thing to separate out. So no one has ever successfully challenged a pardon. But then again, no one has ever tried to do a pardon like this, mid-proceeding, before sentencing, underlying court order, essentially a court order in a civil, that underlying case was a civil case, where you're weighing in on the side of one civil party. Latinos lose, Arpaio wins. No one has ever done that before. What will those legal challenges look like? Hard to do, but still. Then will there be a pattern of abuse? No one has ever pardoned people to make sure they didn't testify against them. Will we be able to prove that? Will that be more in the legal bucket or more in the impeachment bucket? The impeachment bucket is a legal/political bucket. That's a whole different question. But a lot of people are talking about not just the violation of talking in general, there's not just the violation of specific constitutional provisions. There's also sort of a third category here, which is a violation of constitutional norms, fundamental rules that people follow, practices that people follow, because that's the way our system works.
Okay. So on that point, I want to play a little bit of tape here again. This is from the president, because I think many of his supporters would take exception with what your assertion that he is violating constitutional norms, right? Because other presidents have, as we mentioned before, have issued pardons. Many of those have been controversial. And in fact, President Trump himself pointed to some of those pardons and commutations, I should say. For example, that President Obama issued Chelsea Manning, a fellow named Oscar Lopez Rivera. And so here is what President Trump said when pointing to these actions that President Obama took.
Criminal leaker. You've heard the word leaker? President Obama commuted the sentence of Chelsea Manning, who leaked countless sensitive and classified documents to WikiLeaks. President Obama commuted the sentence of Oscar Lopez Rivera, who was charged as part of a violent independence group from Puerto Rico responsible for 28 Chicago-area bombings and many deaths.
So difference between pardon and commutation, of course. There's a major significant difference there. But what's your response to the fact that President Trump brought these up? He's saying that his actions are not outside of constitutional norms.
The clemency power is essentially part of the balance of power here. The executive brings a case, a judge sentences there. We recognize that there are instances in which a sentence may be excessive or become excessive. In the case of Chelsea Manning, there was a question of once he was transgendered, how cruel and unusual was his punishment. So a sentence that becomes excessive because someone gets ill, et cetera, because the law changes. So the pardon power is an antidote to that. But intervening before someone is sentenced, when the sentence at issue is a 6 months criminal misdemeanor, when the underlying act is one over which courts are supposed to have control, if a court can't enforce its own orders, then there is no meaningful court. So this is an entirely different issue. The usual balance of power with respect to excessive punishment is one thing, where the process has already finished, conviction, imprisonment, etc. This is intervening in a very different kind of situation, and intervening in a misdemeanor. A very different situation.
So you've said that the Arizona judge has asked for briefs on this.
Yes.
Do you think that there is going to be a legal challenge to this pardon?
Well, I know there's going to be a legal challenge. Whether it's a successful legal challenge is another question. But yes, the docket reflects that the pardon came down on one day, and the next day she says, I can't enforce this without briefs from both sides. And there'll be a flood of briefs from both sides.
Huh. Wow. Well, before we let you go, Judge Gertner, there is another story that I want to quickly get your impressions on. And that is the fact that Politico has been reporting that Robert Mueller, the special counsel, of course, who's investigating the Trump campaign's connections or alleged connections with Russia, that he's now working with New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman in order to further the investigation into Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, and financial interactions he may have had with Russians. Why is that significant, that Mueller's working with the New York Attorney General now?
Because the president has no power to pardon for state offenses. And so if the Mueller investigation produces state indictments, the president would completely lack the constitutional power to pardon those individuals. The pardon power goes only to offenses of the United States.
So could Mueller use evidence or testimony garnered through Schneiderman's investigations for his own investigation?
It's absolutely usual for federal and state authorities to cooperate. They can share information. There's really no bar on that. So, yes, it could either the same pot of facts could lead to a federal indictment or could lead to a state indictment. Either way.
Fascinating. Well, Nancy Gertner is WBUR's legal analyst and a retired federal judge. She joins us to take a scalpel to thorny legal issues of the day. Judge Gertner, it's always great to have you.
Thank you.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.